Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from the University of Central Florida, offering their Master's of Science in Data Analytics program. Designed to enhance skills in data analysis and machine learning, the new Artificial Intelligence track offers specialized courses to deepen understanding of AI technologies and their applications. More at ce.ucf.edu/data.
Ah, but I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now.
Hi, folks, I'm Mark Middleton, and that guy over there is Billy Schaefer. Welcome back to Growing Boulder, the show that proves it is never too late to create the life you want.
And to prove Mark's point on today's program, a man on a mission, an exclusive interview with one of the NBA's top executives as he goes public about his diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. Plus, the call of adventure, travel expert Mike Plant with tips for knocking things off your budget list, your bucket list.
Also today, nationally known women's health expert Dr. Nancy Simpkins will join us to talk about creating your own fountain of youth. And a master of reinvention. After 30 years as a stay-at-home mom, she became a successful author, an in-demand keynote speaker, and an international supermodel. And she's here to help you figure out what's next.
Great groove. And of course, the performer is a Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter who has only charted, 21 top 40 singles, 11 of which climbed all the way to number one. She also happens to be an author of 4 books, including her best-selling memoir, Composed.
Her latest album is called The River and the Thread. It is getting rave reviews, being called one of the finest albums she has ever recorded. And folks, that is saying something because she, of course, is Roseanne Cash, who joins us now to talk about her amazing new album. Hey, Roseanne, how are you?
Hi, Mark. Hi, Bill.
Congratulations on the success of The River and the Thread. Sales have been great. The reviews have been really, amazing. Time magazine calls it beautiful and complex. The Boston Globe calls it one of 2014's first great albums. Another critic called it a masterpiece. I mean, the work obviously pleases you and your fans. Do you really care what the critics think?
Only if it's good. No, those reviews have been really, really gratifying. You know, at this point in my career, you just hope somebody notices. So to get that kind of feedback has been really great. I've enjoyed every minute. I think for the first time in my life, I've really enjoyed it instead of waiting for the other shoe to drop.
And real interesting, too, about the record is that your father, Johnny Cash, was partly responsible for the record because... Is it true that a lot of the music that you created was inspired by a trip you made to his boyhood home in Arkansas?
Well, I think people think that that's a larger piece to the story than it actually is. We took a lot of trips down south through Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Virginia, while we were writing the songs on this record. I say we, meaning John Leventhal, my husband and I. And we're deeply versed in Southern music and love it so much. So there are nods to the blues and to Southern gospel and Appalachian. One of the first trips I took was to Dyess, Arkansas, my dad's boyhood home, because I was involved with Arkansas State University in helping them restore the home as a music heritage site. But to say he's responsible is really stretching it.
And you mentioned your husband. For the most part, you wrote the lyrics. Your husband, John Leventhal, who produced the album, wrote the music. That's obviously a collaboration, Roseanne. It seems to be working for you on multiple levels.
Yeah. I mean, we've worked hard at getting to a place where we don't take everything personally in the studio and where we bring our best selves to each other and appreciate what the other one does well. You know, which is really marriage in a nutshell. In fact, someone said to me, this record is the sound of a marriage. Mm. And that was very moving to me. A lot of the songs are about marriage, and then we brought our own to it. So it's good working with him. We really enjoy each other's company.
You know, one of the tracks that we really loved, and we hope people will take a moment to listen to, because you're going to want to get the whole CD after you do. It's kind of like it defines what you were just talking about here from the CD, The River and the Thread, is a song called A Feather's Not a Bird. Let's listen to just a little bit of that.
I'm going down to Florence, going to wear a pretty dress. I'll sit atop the magic wall with the voices in my head.
Roseanne, that song has got soul. It's got a groove. It's got, man, it feels so real. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, that's the opening track on the record, and I had written that chorus sometime before I wrote the rest of the lyrics. And John and I were driving from Alabama through Mississippi, and a friend who was teaching me to sew in Alabama, my friend Natalie Channon, she said that to me when I was threading my needle. She said, "You have to love the thread." And it chilled me. Tears came to my eyes when she said it, and I kept thinking of that line, you have to love the thread, you know, backwards and forwards, your ancestors, your children, your geography, home. And that led to the lyrics, and then John wrote this swampy melody.
Is a very mature album. You are in your late 50s now. You've already had a 35-year career. How are things different now, Roseanne, than they were 20 years ago in terms of your career, your expectations?
I have fewer expectations, which is, there's a lot of freedom in that. You know, I don't expect radio hits or huge commercial sales anymore. I don't have anxiety about that. I'm at a point in my life where I just want to do good work. Obviously, I want to make a living, but I feel that I've gotten some kind of mastery at what I do, and it took a lot of doubt and uncertainty to get to that place. But I think that's common for people in middle age. You know, you finally feel that you know what you do well, and you're. The difference for me is I know a lot of people who are burnout at my age, and I am so lucky that I still feel. I love what I do, and I feel inspired.
What keeps it fresh for you? Because, you know, any of us can get burned out at what we do. You could have certainly gotten burned out in what you're doing. What is it? How do you make yourself stay fresh?
That's a good question. Art inspires me, art and music. And I'm still in love with my husband, and I love being a mom, and I love my work, and when I do feel burnout, when I'm tired and I can't stand to look at one more baggage claim, I remind myself that I'm lucky to do what I do.
And this latest album, is so good and so great. Your talents, Roseanne, obviously stand on their own. And I don't mean to push this interview in the wrong direction, but the blessing and the curse of being Johnny Cash's daughter is that guys like us can't talk to you or about you without reminding everyone that which they probably already know, and that is that you are Johnny Cash's daughter. Does that get old, or is that something that you've learned to embrace and cherish?
Honestly, the answer is yes to both of those questions. It does get old because I'm in middle age, like you said, and also everybody knows it. It's not like you're going to find very many people who don't know that fact. And there's a fascination with my dad that I think people, because he's gone, they want to, I don't know, sometimes look through me to try to see him, and that gets old. The other part is, yes, of course I've accepted the tradition I come from, who my parents are, where they came from, because there's a lot of beauty in that, and because I can't really know who I am without accepting all of that, the good and the bad.
You know, another one of the negatives that comes from that is that people assume that, oh, my gosh, she must have had a silver spoon. She's had a charmed life, probably never had a day of worry ever. But you have had, my friend, some serious challenges in your life. You've lost your voice more than once when polyps attacked your vocal cords. And again, in 2007, you actually had brain surgery. So you've had some challenges. What did you learn about having to face those?
Well, yeah, Silver Spoon is not accurate. And, you know, and before all of the things you mentioned, my childhood was incredibly chaotic. You know, my dad was had a drug addiction at that time. So, and yeah, I have lost my voice twice, and it scared me, and it was a long process of rebuilding it both times. And the brain surgery was a good, hard look at my own mortality, and it made me feel very urgent about doing the things I want to do. And, you know, you asked before, how do I stay fresh? That was a game changer for me. I feel lucky to have survived, and I feel an urgency about doing my work in this world. But I'm naturally a very optimistic person. I can put a good spin on just about anything. When I found out I had to have brain surgery, I said, well, I can afford to take time off work. I have my husband supportive, and I have good health insurance, so why not me? And sometimes I'm a bit of a Pollyanna in that way.
Well, if there is any question, if you can bounce back, it has been answered emphatically with her latest album, folks. You've got to check it out. It's called The River and the Thread. She is the great Roseanne Cash. And you can learn more at RoseanneCash.com. Roseanne, thanks so much for your time. And we'll play a little bit more of this album as we go into our break.
I burned up seven lives and I used up all my charms. I took the long way home just to end up in your arms. That's why I'm going down to Florence now. I got my pretty dress.
Coming up, one of the sharpest minds in all of basketball, the former GM of the Orlando Magic, is now battling an incurable disease. His inspiring dedication to help others next on Growing Bolder. Stay connected to Growing Bolder for daily doses of hope, inspiration, and possibility. Find us on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram for our latest stories, reels, and motivational memes.
Bill Schaefer and Mark Middleton here on Growing Bolder. I want to talk about a guy you may know named John Gabriel, a guy who earned a reputation for having one of the sharpest minds in all of basketball. The former Orlando Magic GM and NBA Executive of the Year is now Director of Scouting for the New York Knicks, but he's facing his toughest opponent yet, unfortunately, which is Parkinson's disease.
Yeah, is he ever, Bill? In an exclusive interview, we sat down with Gabriel to learn more about his diagnosis, his prognosis, and his hopes for the future. And we didn't find a guy who is depressed or even feeling sorry for himself. What we found was an optimistic, determined warrior who is ready to fight for all of us. John Gabriel will never forget the moment that would change the path of his life forever.
Of all things, was reading a Michael J. Fox piece in a magazine, and I had noticed the quiver in my ring finger for a while, and eventually I got a little bit of movement in my foot.
As the tremors became more pronounced, John knew something was wrong, and he hoped it wasn't Parkinson's.
It's probably one of the few times you wish something bad on yourself. You heard about Parkinson's, but you say, God, give me a small tumor somewhere, I'll take it, so that it's not, at the end of the day, Parkinson's, something that can be taken care of with an operation, pinched nerve, something like that. And we set out across the country, my wife and I, getting second, third, and fourth opinions, as you can imagine. And pretty much to a man, they said, you have PD.
Parkinson's disease is a degenerative disorder robbing one's ability to control normal movement. Over 60,000 new cases are diagnosed each year, adding to the more than 1 million who are already living with PD. As John came to grips with the diagnosis, he asked the difficult questions that confront everyone with an incurable disease.
Well, you want to know, will this take my life at some point in time? Will I see my children grow up? Will I see my grandchildren? Those are the first questions, the ones that really mean something. You really don't say, how long can I still work? You know, everything falls into place, everything falls into perspective.
For nearly 2 years, only John's family and closest friends knew of his diagnosis. As director of scouting for the NBA's New York Knicks, he was uncertain how his colleagues at work would react.
If I had a board meeting or something like that and my knee was quivering, my foot was shaking, I made sure I got it in early and made sure my legs were under the desk. Sometimes sit on my hand. You try to mask it a little bit. You try to cover up a little bit early on.
When it became difficult to hide the symptoms, he called a meeting of the Knicks front office asking for only one thing.
And that was, would you do me a favor and treat me like you always did? And that everything else was fine. I may be a little slower, I may shake a little bit, but above the shoulders, I'm still the same guy.
The same guy who earned a reputation as one of the sharpest minds in all of basketball. Gabriel ran a one-man landscaping business in 1982 when he talked his way into a job with the Philadelphia 76ers, quickly proving himself to general manager Pat Williams. When Williams moved to Orlando to launch an NBA expansion team, Gabriel was his first hire. Gabriel rose quickly, eventually replacing Williams as GM when Pat was promoted to vice president. In one 15-month period, he made 57 player transactions, clearing salary cap space to create a path for the Magic's return to greatness after Shaquille O'Neal left for Los Angeles. In 1999, he gave Doc Rivers his first head coaching job and cobbled together a heart and hustle team of no-name players that thrilled the fans and nearly made the playoffs. It was a masterful job that earned him the NBA Executive of the Year award. Gabriel was the Magic Man, but the NBA is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business, and when the Magic endured a long losing streak in 2003, Gabriel was out, moving on to the Portland Trailblazers and then the Knicks.
Hopefully I can continue to stay in the league and do what I do, and if not, you know, I'm not afraid to turn the page and start a new chapter and dig into something else if that's possible.
No matter what he does professionally, Gabriel will lend his many talents to raising awareness about Parkinson's.
And then eventually you get to the point where, like many people with Parkinson's that have a platform, you say, what can I do to help find a cure?
He's joined the board of the National Parkinson Association of Central Florida and is actively involved with the University of Florida Center for Movement Disorders, where he's both a patient and an advocate.
Which they have some of the finest doctors in the world at the University of Florida. And that has been proven to be very, very successful in reducing the tremor and the effects of Parkinson's.
Gabriel knows there are many challenges ahead, but with the support of his family and friends, he remains characteristically optimistic.
All in all, there's no time to be down about things. I've got a lot to look forward in my life. I've got a beautiful family that I love. And I just look forward to the next day and each and every day. I have to be a little bit more careful what I do, but I still run, play football with my son. My son plays basketball, hang out with the girls. I mean, life's pretty much the same as it was, as much as I can make it that way.
John Gabriel doesn't know exactly what tomorrow will bring, but he has another magic act in mind. This time, he's not talking about bringing basketball to Central Florida. He wants to bring hope to those who are currently battling and those yet to be diagnosed with Parkinson's.
25 years ago, over a delicatessen on Pine Street in Orlando, I helped Pat create magic and bring it to Central Florida. Well, John Gabriel's here to create magic one more time.
What an amazing guy. And as you heard, Gabriel has become a passionate advocate for research and support for those with Parkinson's disease and those who have yet to be diagnosed.
Yeah, Parkinson's is one of those diseases that really, Mark, it can affect anybody at any time. And in most of the cases, symptoms do start to appear after the age of 50. But did you know that 5% of those diagnosed happen between 20 and 40? Despite decades of research, the cause of Parkinson's, well, they're still working on that. There is no known cure for PD. And while the disease itself is not fatal, complications from PD are the 14th leading cause of death in the U.S. The good news is that scientists and researchers are making great progress identifying new treatment options that can greatly improve the quality of life for people who have it. The following interview was recorded before the passing of our guest.
Time once again for a quick reminder that life is what you make it, that we all have the ability to find happiness and meaning in our daily lives. All it takes is noticing and then appreciating the little things. Here's our pal, Key Howard.
Webster's Dictionary defines the word irony as an outcome of events contrary to what might have been expected. I found it ironic that one of our greatest American habits was accidentally developed by an adversary of the United States in the War of 1836. After the war and his defeat, this individual arrived in New York from Mexico with a hunk of chicle in his pocket, used in his country as a substitute for rubber. His American host, Thomas Adams, couldn't generate enough interest in the product, so the man returned to his country broke and disillusioned. Several years later, Adam remembered that the man would often pull out a piece of this chicle and chew on it. So using the sample that he'd carefully stored away, he mixed it with hot water, rolled it into little balls, and at a penny apiece, the chicle ball was selling very well. Based on the success, Mr. Adams began manufacturing Adams New York City Gum. He made the earlier formula tastier by adding a little licorice flavor, and he called his product Blackjack. Now, today's gum has little resemblance to the chicle from the trees of Mexico. Modern gum is merely sweetened polyvinyl acetate, a synthetic product made by DuPont. But Americans still chew over 10 million pounds of the stuff a year, all thanks to Mr. Tom Adams and his Mexican visitor, General Santa Anna, the scourge of the Alamo. How ironic. Till next time, this is Key Howard. Ain't life grand?
Up next, are you ready for a little adventure? Adventure travel is one of the fastest growing travel categories of all, and guess who's responsible for that? This is Growing Boulder. Sign up for the Growing Boulder Insider newsletter, delivered to your inbox every week. Be the first to see our latest interviews, stories, and tips for making each day count. Sign up today at growingboulder.com. Miss an episode of Growing Boulder Radio? Subscribe to our podcast and get it on your mobile device. Details at growingboulder.com/podcasts. Bill Schaefer along with Mark Middleton here on Growing Boulder. Glad to have you with us. And if you're like most of us, you are dreaming about your next trip, that next big adventure. Do you know travel is the number one leisure activity for baby boomers? And Mark, those baby boomers spend something like $157 billion on leisure travel every year. It's a big business.
Yeah, folks over 50 are driving the industry. And one of the fastest growing trends these days in boomer travel is what they call adventure travel, climbing, trekking, canoeing, kayaking, safaris, you name it, and more of us are doing it. And as many of you know, I recently traveled to Tanzania to climb Mount Kilimanjaro and then go on a two-day safari. And I don't think I've camped out, Bill, since college. Wow. So I needed everything. And the best thing that I did was turn to experts to get some help. And for me, it was the experts at Travel Country, at travelcountry.com. And I am not exaggerating, folks, when I say I could not have done it without them. To learn more about these growing travel trends, let's say hello to Mike Plant, who is the owner of Travel Country. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We're doing great. And first of all, congratulations on building what really is an incredible business. You obviously had to have a sense of what was coming when you started Travel Country, but are you surprised by the extent of the growing appetite that we all seem to have for outdoor adventure?
No. I think as I've watched the customer base grow over the last 30-plus years, everybody's getting more comfortable with traveling abroad and not being so frightened of other cultures and really enjoying the planet as they travel around everywhere.
You know, one of the things, Mike, that I've been living vicariously through Mark and this journey that he was on, and I keep trying to picture myself doing it, and I can't. I mean, my knees won't take it. My back won't take it. I guess things don't have to be dangerous or even difficult to be able to participate in adventure travel. There's literally something for everyone. Is there also something for somebody like me?
Absolutely. There's plenty of good folks that can actually almost hold your hand on an adventure so that you can discover, you know, what is beautiful about other countries and other cultures. Or you could do like Mark and do it the hard way.
You know, one of the things that, and obviously I went trekking on another continent. The first thing that the guide told me, Mike, months before we left, is that the success of my adventure, the enjoyment of my adventure, would in large part be determined by the quality of our gear. And man, he was so right. From the right boots to trekking poles to the right sleeping pads, sleeping bags, hydration systems, every point was a potential point of failure if you didn't do the right thing. Well, what is your typical customer in Travel Country, and what are they looking to do, and how do you help them do it?
I don't know if we have a typical customer, because sometimes they come in and they're not nervous about where they're going to go, and we have to slow them down a little bit for them to do a little bit more research and give us more information. We try to qualify the trip and try to, you know, warn them of the things that could go wrong. And like you said, get them in the right gear. You know, not too much gear, just the right gear so that their trip can be pleasant. You know, if your boots fall apart, if your sleeping bag isn't warm enough, if your pack is too big or too small, there's a lot of things that go into it. And with the internet today, you can do so much research before your trip. And that has helped folks become more comfortable before these big excursions.
You know, Mark, you brought up a great point about not having really gone camping since college. And, you know, I used to do that in high school days and college all the time. And I bet there are a lot of people like us. Mike, can you tell us, how different are the sleeping bags and the hiking shoes and the equipment, the tents and things? How different are they now from technology than they were back when Mark and I were knocking around in college?
Well, we weren't in business in the 1800s, so I can't answer that.
Ouch.
But what we've seen happen is everything has become lighter.
Except me. I've become
Except
heavier.
You. Exactly, right. And everything has become easier to carry. The sleeping pads have gotten or become so comfortable that you can, when you're out there, if you want to take one of those really cool pillows with you even as you're sleeping, because that's important to me. I always take the stuff that helps me sleep the best. But you can get a good night's sleep, you know, in the woods. You can be on top of roots and rocks and not feel them. You know, your sleeping bag can be as big as a loaf of bread and keep you warm to 0 degrees. So you're not having to overpack. You can pack just the right stuff for the right trip and be comfortable.
And, you know, in addition to that, Bill, you know, other than the equipment that he mentioned, and he is so absolutely right about that, the clothing has changed so much as well, and Travel Country's got all of it. You know, it used to be if something had polyester in it, we avoided it. But this new high-tech clothing, Mike, you know, it's lightweight, it's wicking, it doesn't wrinkle, it looks good. I mean, that has changed a lot in the past couple of decades as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's between the synthetics and actually the treatments. It just keeps you drier to the skin. But, you know, the industry was trying to outsmart Mother Nature for years. And some of the best product on the market, believe it or not, is off of a sheep and off of goose down. And those things, just keep you comfortable. And they might even help better with odor retention because you don't really take that many showers in the woods. You don't take that much clothing in the woods. So even like a nice wool T-shirt, believe it or not, backpacking in the summer might inhibit your body odor, but it still keeps you comfortable and warm and dry, and it's just amazing stuff.
So where are people going these days, Mike? Because I think all of us now, you know, we're a little bit older. We realize the clock is running. We've got the money to do it. You know, we're knocking items off of our bucket list. Where do you hear? What do you see? What are the trips that people, you know, the light adventure travel? Where are boomers going these days?
Well, you know, the ice caps are popular, not overly popular. We're seeing a lot of South American travel. People are comfortable with South America. It used to be relegated to Europe first, and then people became Australian and New Zealand driven. But now Asia is becoming a very comfortable place to travel for them. But South America, there's a lot going on there. Beautiful place.
Micah, how many, what percentage of your business goes along with what we said at the beginning of the interview? Are they people like me that are 50s and 60s and on?
Yeah, absolutely. People are staying in shape longer and not being afraid to grow old. They really want to live their lives. And, you know, some people don't leave the United States because there's so much to see here. You can't see it all in Canada. But they're not hesitating to see the world. And, you know, a lot of them are mixing mission trips in at the same time that we have so many people in this area that are so willing to help others around the world with great causes. And but yet they mix it in with adventure travel so that they can experience the culture 100%.
Folks, it's a big world out there, and there is a lot to do, and it can be, but it doesn't have to be, cruising to the Galapagos or bungee jumping in New Zealand or climbing Machu Picchu. You know, it can just be hiking in your own backyard here in Central Florida. It can be getting in a kayak and kayaking in the Wakaiba. There is so much to do out there, and our thanks again to Mike Plant from Travel Country. If you're in Central Florida, the store is on 436 in Altamont Springs. Amazing place, incredible stuff. But I can tell you firsthand, their greatest feature are the people that work there that can help you. They can help you get to anywhere. So, in fact, if you're not in Central Florida, just go to travelcountry.com and you will see what we mean. Mike, thanks so much. And we really appreciate all your support. Coming up, the well-known medical advisor to the state of New Jersey, a health expert who says she can help you get on the right track and stay there. That's next on Growing Bolder.
Embrace the health and longevity movement with the Fountain of Youth monthly e-newsletter. Growing Bolder and the National Senior Games Association have teamed up to bring you the latest videos, podcasts, and articles on inspirational masters athletes and the many benefits of physical activity delivered right to your inbox. Just go to nsga.com/connect to sign up for free today. The Fountain of Youth, because if you want to keep moving, you have to keep moving.
I'm Bill Schaefer along with Mark Middleton. You are listening, of course, to Growing Bolder, and our next guest is certainly that. She's a board-certified internist, a women's health expert, and medical advisor to the state of New Jersey.
Yeah, Bill, she is one of these very few people who can speak with authority on just about any health issue, which is why we like her, because we've got a whole lot of questions. Let's find out more as we welcome Dr. Nancy Simpkins. Hey, Dr. Simpkins, how are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're wonderful. Thanks so much for your time. Obviously, we all want to be healthier. We want to eat better. But there are so many different opinions out there from the so-called experts, from the medical profession, from researchers, that it kind of gives us an excuse to pretty much throw up our hands in frustration and just continue with whatever we're doing, even if it's wrong. So let's start with a no-brainer here. Why would anyone start or keep smoking these days?
Okay, there is absolutely no good reason to be smoking. Absolutely none, especially now when there are multiple ways to safely stop smoking. There are patches, there are pills, there are alternative therapies. smoking is the one thing that has been proven through time and medical literature to lead to multiple medical disorders.
And as I understand it, the U.S. Surgeons General has come out with even some new health-related risk factors from smoking.
That's correct. I mean, even the direct link to lung cancer and COPD and emphysema and bronchitis, we've known about for years. But now there's questions of, are smokers at an increase of colon cancer, breast cancer, uterine cancer? Will more smokers become diabetic than non-smokers? So there really is such a direct link to medical comorbidities that we really have no good reason for people to smoke, except that it's an addiction and it's very difficult for people to stop.
Well, that's what people are breathing in. What about what we eat? You say that now the point is to eat for the person that you want to be later, because what we eat really does become what our bodies are tomorrow?
Well, you know, eating is a very difficult topic because food is all around us. Food is social. We all eat for various different reasons. But the interesting thing is people need to eat healthy now to prevent disease later. For instance, when we start with young children, adolescents, teenagers, college students, all those years of eating cholesterol-laden foods and high fried fatty foods will eventually clog up their coronary arteries when they're 40 and 50 years old. So we really all need to be proficient. And if you're 50 years old, no time like the present to stop eating bad things, because you want to live for another 50 years and you want to be healthy.
One of the problems I think that many of us have, Dr. Simpkins, is we just don't know where to begin. One of the things that you've said that I like is that we should all identify the five worst items in our diet, which is something most of us don't even want to acknowledge, and then simply start by limiting those. What are some of the worst things that most of us eat?
Well, it's interesting because the five worst things are very particular. For instance, there are patients of mine who feel that they have to have French fries every single day or their day is not complete. There are patients who feel like they must start their day off with a bagel and butter. There are patients who have to have fried chicken. So whatever your five vices are, if it's potato chips, if it's ice cream, whatever it is, I say to patients, take the five leading offenders. You know what's fatty, what's high caloric, what's bad for you. And have it once a month. And when you have it, enjoy it. So if you're going to go on a Sunday morning and have a bagel, enjoy it. Put cream cheese on it, sit down, eat it, enjoy it. If it's pancakes, have it once a month, sit and eat it. If it's fried chicken, order it once a month. A hamburger and French fries, but the rest of the time, you need to say no thank you.
Is coffee one of the things on that list? I'm totally confused with coffee. Some say it's great, some say it's awful.
Okay, my experience with coffee is if you have a normal heart without any rhythm disturbance, having coffee has not been proven to cause any disease, and most of us really enjoy our morning coffee, and personally, I would not take that away from anyone.
Folks, we're running down the list of some of our most compelling questions with Dr. Nancy Simpkins. You know, Dr. Simpkins, it seems like we are all battling a case of constant fatigue, at least those of us beyond a certain age. It could be simply that we're not getting enough sleep, but you actually recommend that most of us, if not all of us, get our thyroid gland checked out. What's that about?
Well, it's interesting because as we age, we all know that our body is not a perfect machine, and certain parts begin to wear out. And one of the big ones that begins to wear out is our thyroid gland. And as we age, it becomes less active than it was when we were younger. And it affects our metabolism, our sleep, our weight, our heart. And so it's a simple blood test and a physical exam at your doctor that could prevent serious illness.
That's incredible. I'm going to go back. My head is still stuck, Doc Nancy, on the coffee thing. What about the stuff we put in the coffee? Sugar has really gotten a bad rap. So if we get rid of that, are there substitutes that are okay to use?
You know, I have no problem with sugar. Sugar is 17 calories per teaspoon. So if your only vice is to put a teaspoon or two of sugar in your morning coffee, that is not an issue. The issue is the other sugars, the cookies, the cakes, the candy, the bread. In other words, if you chew a piece of white bread, before you even swallow the bread, it has turned to sugar in your mouth, which is why white flour is really so bad for people over 50, because it just turns to sugar and it's stored in the belly area. But a little bit of sugar in your coffee in the morning is never going to get you into trouble. If you prefer to use a sugar substitute, you can use a sugar substitute. None have them. They all get bad raps. People say they cause weight gain. People say that they cause cancer. People say that they're not good for you. The truth is, they're all fine. None of the medical studies have proven that they cause any problem. They cause a lot of GI upset in people. Like, the fake sugars are harder to break down. So if you have a lot of fake sugar, if you're a big Diet Coke drinker, by the end of the day, your stomach probably doesn't feel so good from the fake sugar, but it is not proven to be dangerous.
Well, this has been fascinating. Awesome. We really appreciate that. Folks, we've been talking with Dr. Nancy Simpkins, and you know, when it comes to personal health issues, she is the voice of reason in a sea of confusion, which is why we like her. You can find out more by checking out her website. That is Nancy Simpkins, M.D., Nancy Simpkins, S-I-M-P-K-I-N-S, M-D.com. Dr. Simpkins, thanks so much for your time. Coming up next, the former stay-at-home mom turned author, speaker, and supermodel in her mid-70s is here to tell us how to reinvent ourselves at any age.
Sign up for the Growing Boulder Insider newsletter, delivered to your inbox every week. Be the first to see our latest interviews, stories, and tips for making each day count. Sign up today at growingboulder.com. Miss an episode of Growing Boulder Radio? Subscribe to our podcast and get it on your mobile device. Details at growingboulder.com/podcasts. The following interview was recorded before the passing of our guest. I'm Bill Schaefer with the amazing Mark Middleton here on Growing Boulder, and our next guest knows more than a little bit about reinventing yourself. She spent 30 years as a stay-at-home wife and a mother, raising 6 kids. And after that, she goes, I gotta do something. She began a 15-year corporate career as a public relations director for Pebble Beach Resorts, and at 63, she was spotted by a Hollywood producer, and that launched a successful career as a model.
Not done yet, Bill. In her 70s, she became a keynote speaker and an author. Her first book was called Gracefully, Looking and Being Your Best at Any Age. And now at 74, she has her second book out, which is titled Creating What's Next, Gracefully. You've seen her on the Today Show, Fox News, Extra, and more. Welcome back, Valerie Ramsey. Hey, Valerie, how are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you for the very nice introduction. How are both of you?
We're doing great. Thank you. And first of all, congratulations on your new book. We love what you're all about because you really are among the vanguard of those who are changing the opportunities of life for everybody beyond 60 and 70 and 80 and even 90. You know, not long ago, Valerie, if you were 60 and hated your job, too bad. If you were 70 and retired and bored, too bad. But today, you're helping people understand that really anything is possible.
Oh, it really is. And there are just so many opportunities out there, as I always remind people. You know, even if you think that you're stuck and nothing new is ever going to come along, if you keep your eyes and ears open to possibilities, it's amazing how many new opportunities there really are out there. You just have to be aware of them and then ready to pounce on the one or ones that inspire you and excite you.
You know, Valerie, Mark and I were talking about your book, and we love the title. We were talking about what it means, though, Creating What's Next. You know what we like about that? It implies that things don't happen by accident. You have to create them. How do we determine what's next? And once we do, how do you create that?
Okay, well, I think, first of all, how you determine it is just by thinking about what really excites you and interests you, and look back over your life and just try to remember those incidents, those occurrences, those projects or hobbies or whatever it was that you really liked. And then start looking around, you know, as I was just saying, for opportunities to do something further in that field. And then after that, after you've identified it, you know, yes, maybe you're going to have to go out and learn new skills, like particularly for older people, they might have to become more computer savvy, whatever it is. But I think taking that first step in the direction that you want to go, that's probably the hardest step. And once you've done that, though, then you're on your way and you start gaining self-confidence and you gain the second and third step. You know, when I was 53, our children were all grown and we moved from the East Coast to the West Coast. And I was determined. I knew that I wanted to have a great midlife career, but I didn't have any real business experience. And so that was when I set my sights on Pebble Beach Resorts, because we were living in Monterey at the time. But I had to go over and start working in the pro shop with the college kids because I wasn't qualified to do anything else. However, I learned how to use a computer at the local community college at the same time and just kept on learning as much about the hospitality business and Pebble Beach especially during that summer in the pro shop, and then got into the marketing department and then became PR director. You know, by doing my homework and then by not being afraid to ask for what I wanted, I had learned a lot about public relations in marketing. I used to help out that person quite often. And so when that job opened up, I immediately went to the senior vice president of marketing and said, please, may I have that job? And he was kind of floored at first, but then he said, yes, it's yours. You've got it. But then, you know, I hit a real crossroads. That very first week that I had that, I was responsible for a crew of about 100. They were shooting Cadillac commercials and print ads at Pebble Beach. And the first day on the shoot, I broke my foot and sprained my ankle. Second day on the shoot, my doctor called and gave me a diagnosis of uterine cancer and said he was scheduling surgery for the following week. Third day, you know, and I'm on crutches and hobbling because of the broken foot and ankle. I had to go down to his office for pre-op, and it was discovered that I had a really serious heart condition, something called viral cardiomyopathy. So I thought, you know, I'm 58 years old. I've just hit this major crossroads. I'm down 3 for 3. Am I going to give up, or am I going to live my dream and create what's next for myself? And obviously, you know, I chose the latter, and five years later got discovered for modeling on the golf course. And, you know, one thing just kept leading to another, and opportunities just kept coming along, and I would grab them. When I got a call from Peter Greenberg, who was then the travel editor for the Today Show, he called me one afternoon and said, you know, our executive producer, Jim Bell, who incidentally just produced the Olympics, is going to be in your area with his wife and the nanny and the four little boys next week. Can you take care of them? And, of course, I said, you bet I can. And when they arrived, I thought, you know, Jim Bell is not coming to Pebble Beach that I don't get to meet this gentleman. And I did, and one thing led to another. In fact, it led to 5 appearances on the Today Show just because I jumped on that opportunity. So that's kind of how I do it.
You know, folks, it's a great lesson in life. It's all about perseverance, because we're all going to have problems if we live long enough. You know, we'll be fortunate to have problems if we live long enough. You got to believe in yourself, and you got to throw yourself out there. Valerie, in the last 30 seconds that we have, you know, what is the takeaway? What do we learn by reading your book? What's the moral here?
I tell people how I created what's next for myself and how they can do it too. And they certainly don't have to go out and do what I did. They must do whatever feels right and exciting for them. And then I take them through it with step by step, and then using behind the scenes stories from my public relations days at Pebble Beach and also my modeling days to illustrate, often with great humor, the point that I'm trying to make.
And Val, the book is called Creating What's Next Gracefully. And for more information, check out our website, ValerieRamsey.com. It's a great story, folks, because you can do it too.
Before we go, a little Growing Bolder takeaway. This one comes from the running nun, Sister Madonna Buder, who entered the convent at age 23, didn't begin running until 48. She was 55 when she completed her first Ironman.
And now at 82, she's the oldest person ever, male or female, to complete the Ironman triathlon, setting an age group world record that, Mark, some say will never be broken.
Sister Madonna told us that she runs to spread the word that we all are given different talents, and it's our responsibility to discover them. And once we do, it's our obligation to develop and use those talents for the greater good.
So, hey, what's your talent? If you haven't discovered it yet, don't worry. Sister Madonna and many others prove it's never too late. But do keep looking. And when you've discovered it, nurture it, develop it, share it, because that's what Growing Bolder is all about.
The Growing Bolder Radio Show is a production of Growing Bolder, LLC, all rights reserved. This program was recorded at Growing Bolder Studios in Orlando and is available as a weekly podcast on NPR One, iTunes, Spotify, and TuneIn. It is written and produced by Jill Middleton, Mark Middleton, and Bill Schaefer. Technical director is Jason Morrow. Production manager is Michael Nanis. And our most important team member, you. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram to keep growing bolder every day.
Crimson flames tied through my ears, flowing high and mighty trapped. Countless fires.